Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This is an extended conversation with Harvey Levin of TMZ. We went to his offices in Los Angeles to talk about the documentary that they made about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, which is called Arnold and Sly. You can now stream it on Hulu, and it's fantastic. Harvey sits down with the two legends together for an hour and 45 minutes, and it's really, really interesting. So we talk about that documentary, but then we also talk about Harvey, the state of politics, O.J. Simpson's death, Kanye West, and Robert F. Kennedy, and Harvey's advocacy for him when he was in high school and when he was there the night that he died, which I didn't realize. So it's a really fascinating conversation. I really love talking to Harvey and hope you'll enjoy this as well. Harvey Levin, welcome back to The Issue Is. So good to see you, and great to be here.
Great seeing you, and welcome.
Congratulations on the documentary. I loved it. This idea of getting Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the same room at the same time. Where did this idea come from? What's the backstory here?
You know, it's funny. In a way, the backstory goes back to 1976. When I graduated from law school, I spent a year in Miami, and then I came back here to practice law. And I worked out at a gym in Hollywood. And there was this dude at the gym that I would say hi to now and then. And we talked a little bit, and I talked to him on a Friday. On Monday, he was the biggest star in the world. It was Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
And Rocky had come out over the weekend. And I had no idea about this.
Wow.
So it's always been really impactful for me just to have watched that. And I was practicing law. I wasn't doing this.
Yeah.
And so I always thought about his rise. And, you know, and then, you know, Arnold is just as Arnold. I mean, my God, you know, following him as the governor and the movie star and everything else he's done. And then we end up at the same gym as well. And I was just thinking, wow. To put these two together, given their history mm-hmm. and this bitter rivalry that turned into this amazing friendship, I just felt like this would be a great opportunity.
How did you pull this off?
It took a while. But they were receptive. I mean, they really hadn't sat down this way and talked about all the things they were doing to each other, you know, during the competitive years, and then also just how they came together and became such great friends. So I think they were interested in doing it. They didn't know exactly how it was going to come out. And frankly, if you watched it, Alex, and there were a lot of moments where one didn't know that the other had done certain things to them.
Right. I mean, I think what was obviously entertaining was watching them talk about their rivalry and going back and forth and ribbing each other.
I think you were overpaid, but don't say anything.
Son of a bitch.
But what I thought was the most captivating was how emotional both of them got.
We're more emotional than a lot of more dramatic actors, trust me.
When discussing their own backgrounds and especially discussing their childhoods.
Did you notice how different they are? And how differently they processed that and other things. That when you listen to Sly, there is a sadness that comes into, you know, recounting his childhood. And he talks about the sadness and how it affected him, and he's never been able to shed it. Mm-hmm. Arnold is a very different guy. Mm-hmm. Arnold is the kind of guy that just moves forward, and he doesn't let that kind of drag him down. Now that doesn't mean that maybe Arnold isn't processing it the way Sly is, because I think they do process differently, but they're such different people. And that really struck me.
And it was interesting and even different the way that they process reviews.
When you get bad reviews, they hurt.
I remember when we did the villain with Kirk Douglas and Anne Margaret, they said to me, the horse had better facial expressions than I had. Yeah. I mean, what the hell?
It seemed like
that.
Sly.
Loved that.
Really?
And he just laughed and he said, I don't care. And Sly was just, oh my God, this is just, it's terrible.
What was the biggest surprise for you of actually getting the two of them together?
That they were so deferential to each other.
I loved, you know, when he did Rambo. I love when he did Rocky.
Listen, they're both such huge stars and icons that, you know, in my business, I see a lot of people who are really self-involved, mm-hmm. and that they process things about them. These guys process things about each other. They really respect and like each other.
And it was clear that you respect and like both of them, and had this emotional moment yourself talking about how seeing them take big risks encouraged you to take big risks.
It's really true.
You didn't explain which big risks those are. What are some of those risks that you did in your life after seeing them?
Well, TMZ. Right. I mean, honestly, everybody, there was only one person who thought this was a good idea. That was Ryan Seacrest. Mm. Ryan may regret that now. But everybody told me this is crazy. Why would you do? Because we started as an online.
Right.
And everybody said, God, you're a TV guy. Why would you do that? And I took a chance. And honestly, when, you know, I knew about Sly's story that, you know, he was willing to give up Rocky if it wasn't done on his terms. I knew Arnold's story that, you know, he could have had a comfortable life in Austria and he took $20 in a backpack and came to the United States and he just moved forward. That's inspiring. Mm-hmm. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, and you look around here and everything that's built here and you get now 18 million page views a month. From different people, unique users. I mean, that's crazy if you really think about it.
No, I mean, we're doing well. But, you know, what I've learned, and partly from them, is that you have to accept failure in order to succeed. Mm. And that, you know, if you're so cautious and fearful and you never make a bold move, you won't fail, but you won't succeed either. And I think the two of them, and you know, I love, you know, Arnold in his book, Be Useful. He talks about this, that he never had a plan B. Mm-hmm. That he, you know, that you have a plan B, you doubt yourself. And I think there's some truth in that. And just watching the two of them, you know, how they succeeded largely on their terms, it's really inspiring.
It is really inspiring. Something else, when you were talking about the childhood trauma, you mentioned that you had your own tough childhood. What were you referring to?
Oh God, you went to open that door, huh? I mean, you know, my parents really struggled, and they, you know, they owned a liquor store, and they were gone most. I mean, that store opened at 7 a.m. and they closed at 2 a.m. So they were gone a lot. And in terms of discipline, it was old school. Mm. And, you know, and it was just a different time. And, you know, they did to me what was done to them, and they didn't know any better. And so, you know, there, that part, it's funny. It wasn't rough at the time. It's rough looking back. Mm. Because you have no frame of reference when you're in it. And I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, I don't want to overblow it, but you know, everybody has their stuff.
So you're suggesting that they hit you because a lot of other people were hit at the time too.
And that's just the way it was.
And so they talked about the fact that that sort of experience shaped them. How do you think that that shaped you? Did that propel you?
Well, the huge benefit for me, and not so much that, but the benefit for me, just in terms of watching my parents, who really, they worked really hard so that me and my brother could have a better life. And they gave me my work ethic, absolutely gave me my work ethic. But the fact that they were gone so much, you know, we lived next door to the liquor store. So it's not like they were in a different state, but they were in the store a lot. And when I was at home, I was alone a lot. And what it gave me was independence. And there is a real value in not being afraid of kind of being on your own, of independence. And I think, you know, there are, you know, you can't look at something about your life and say that, I suppose there are things you can, but a lot of times there's some good and some bad in everything. And sometimes kids who get loved and coddled, they have problems, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they have problems.
I know.
And, oh, you want to talk about it?
Well, that could be my problem. Sometimes I think I've been a little over-coddled sometimes.
But that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I got the opposite issue.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that creates problems. So I think you just try to use the tools that you get. And I'm really grateful overall for it, because I think that some of the stuff that was challenging ends up, in a weird way, being a benefit.
By the way, I was 18 days late in terms of giving birth, I like to say that I still don't want to have the umbilical cord.
Well, you're very close to your parents.
Still clinging on. Who's a big fan of you, both my parents. So we are talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ, at TMZ. And recently, we had the death of O.J. Simpson.
Right.
And talk about a story that shaped your life, right, and was so influential to you, basically something you covered almost every day for like 2 years, right?
Right, right.
How do you reflect on O.J.'s legacy?
You know, what I think about, look, I mean, it's not an issue of did he do it or not. I know the answer to that. I mean, I covered this case from the day it happened. It's more about...
You're saying yes.
Of course he did it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, beyond that, you know, it's not about the trial. To me, it's about the aftermath. That I thought that O.J. Simpson had a scarlet letter on him because of what he had done. And he didn't. I mean, he was an attraction in Las Vegas. Mm. I mean, people would run up to him, take selfies, get autographs. And what it taught me, and O.J. really did teach me this, that line between infamy and celebrity is not just blurred, it's indistinguishable now, the two. And that it doesn't matter how you achieve fame in our culture, it's just that you achieve it. And that somebody with, you know, infamy, and we could think of a lot of people, they have, you know, they often are celebrated in similar ways that celebrities are on a completely different track.
Well, that makes me think of another celebrity who said, if you're famous, they let you do it, when referring to sexual assault. Of course, we're talking about Donald Trump. The last time you were on The Issue Is, I asked you about the prospect of a Trump presidency, and you said that it scares the out of you. Does it still? How do you see the election right now?
Well, I mean, number one, I think to prognosticate in April is absurd. Mm-hmm. Because what we know is, I mean, what happens if a war breaks out in the Middle East? What if something happens with an undocumented worker where they do something where all of a sudden it makes the kind of headlines we're talking about? What if Donald Trump gets convicted? There are so many things that could happen. There's no way of knowing. Look, my biggest fear is when he talks about, I am your retribution. And that really scares me, that he will act on that. And he seems that he will, and that really scares me. I think on the other side, I think when you look at the way that the Biden team and especially traditional media is handling this, they are not acknowledging and maybe not even understanding, why is it that Donald Trump has 40%+ support in this country?
At least.
And in terms of people viewing the economy, immigration, and even foreign affairs, they're viewing him more favorably than Joe Biden.
So why is it?
Well, look, I think the way it's almost been characterized, especially in traditional media, is, you know, Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. And I think that's, it misses the point, and it's also doing Biden no favors. That I think you gotta understand, why is it that he has that kind of support? And I think it's complicated, and I think there are some, I don't think that everybody is in one basket. Mm-hmm. And I think to really effectively campaign, you gotta understand it. And I'm not hearing a lot of understanding on that side. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think as well, there's a really powerful position to be the middle finger to the system. And
huge.
Donald Trump right
huge.
Now is the middle finger to the system, and it's hard to be the face of the system.
And it's also, you know, you're encumbered by being an incumbent.
Right.
And that's just the case with every president. And so I think when things are not going great, you know, and when we look at what's going on in Israel and Iran and in the United States and with the economy, and, you know, it's like they talk about, you know, the economy is great, the economy is great. I mean, yeah, you can look at numbers and say that for sure, but why are people saying it's not? And that's what we're not hearing from the campaign. It's not, it doesn't feel like that's being addressed. Mm-hmm. Why is it that people aren't feeling those numbers? Because clearly they're not.
Do you think the trial helps Trump?
That's such a complicated thing. I think if he gets convicted, there will be people who will say, we don't want a criminal mm-hmm. in the White House. And especially if he's jailed or imprisoned. On the other hand, it's exactly what you said, the middle finger. I think, you know, why Merrick Garland waited this long and why January 6th wasn't tried 2 years ago is beyond me. And to make the first case, the Stormy Daniels case, which is a campaign, look, it's a campaign violation.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, you know, you could say it's a low-level felony and all that stuff, but look, it is a campaign violation. And we have seen misdeeds all over the place in politics. If this is the only one that comes up, I think that middle finger you're talking about for some is going to surface again, and that helps Trump.
Trump, of course, had a relationship with Kanye West, which got attention. This week, Kanye West back in the news. You guys doing some exclusive reporting on that. What do we know about him apparently punching somebody in the face?
Well, what he says, and some witnesses seem to support, is that there was some guy at the Chateau Marmont, a fancy hotel in the Sunset Strip, who was apparently really drunk and allegedly started grabbing his wife, Bianca. And even, you know, Kanye says, went up her dress. And so he punched him in the face. And the guy apparently filed a police report. If what Kanye is saying is true, there's no way they're going to prosecute him for that. And, you know, there is such a thing as self-defense and defense of another. And if somebody is being assaulted that way, I think it's case closed.
Presumably at the Chateau Marmont, there's security cameras. Do we know if there are and if this was all captured on video?
The police came the next day, the next afternoon. And that's the only reason I think they went, because this is outside and you know there are cameras all over the place there. So I think the police were probably searching for that.
Okay. As we talk to Harvey Levin here on The Issue Is, with all of our guests, we play this game called Personal Issues, which I don't think we've ever done with
that.
You.
You just asked
and
me.
So this is the more fun Personal Issues.
Okay.
We're not doing therapy now.
Okay, good.
Okay, that was earlier,
okay.
Right, when we did the drama.
Got it.
Now we're talking about your cultural favorites. This is like a 30-second first thing that comes to mind.
Is this going
to
be hard?
To get to know about you. I don't think it's hard.
Okay.
So you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
What is your favorite TV show?
Right now, Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, Real Time with Bill Maher, my favorite TV show too. What is your favorite book?
Oh my God, I just read the best book. Honestly, I don't think I've told you about
it. You did, Kara Swisher.
Kara Swisher's Burn Book. It is one of the best books I've read in years. It's fabulous. And even if you're not like a techie and you're not interested in that, just to hear the stories about, you know, her interactions with Bill Gates and Elon Musk and everybody else, but also her life is just so, I loved this book.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Well, my favorite band, come on, it's the Beatles.
The Beatles, okay.
I mean, come on. I mean, it bothers me now that people are saying Taylor Swift is bigger than the Beatles. She isn't. She is the biggest artist alive today, and maybe number two, but not like the Beatles.
I would say Michael Jackson was bigger, but that could be a whole other.
Bigger than the Beatles?
No, Michael Jackson was bigger than Taylor Swift.
I think it's neck and neck.
Beatles, close. Yeah, close.
I think it's
close.
Neck and neck.
Favorite sports team?
Favorite sports team? I don't know. I wish I were more of a big fan of this, and I'm a fan of tennis, but that's not really a team. So I would say the Lakers.
What is your favorite way to relax?
Lunesta. and I'm not sure that's not true.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love reading. I really love reading. And it just, it takes me into a different world. And so, or just a really good documentary.
What's your favorite documentary of all time?
Oh my God, that's a tough one. God, I mean, there are so many. I mean, I get like so wrapped up in them and then I move on to the, it's sort of like a bathtub where you pull the plug and then you look at the next thing. I did love Get Back. I loved the Beatles documentary. I thought that was, I've read a lot of Beatles.
Which is now streaming on Disney Plus if people want to check
it out. It's really interesting just because I've read so many books on the Beatles and it gave me a different perspective of it. And I'm not sure whether it's real or not. I'm not sure whether they were performing and they really didn't get along like they showed that they did, but it fascinated me.
And last question, who is your role model?
Gosh. You know who my role model was? And you know, one of the things we lack in this country are heroes. My hero and my role model was Robert Kennedy.
Why is that?
I worked on his campaign when I was in high school. I was the head of students for Kennedy here. And I was at the Ambassador that night.
The night that he was killed, you were there.
I was there. And there was a compassion about him and a commitment that he didn't need to have. That he was a wealthy, powerful guy in a powerful family. And he was accomplished already. He was attorney general, he was a senator, he didn't have to run. His brother had been assassinated. He didn't have to take that risk. But he connected with people in a way that I have not seen since. And that was a long, long time ago. That was 1968. And the way he connected with the black community, with just generally, I mean, I remember when he announced Martin Luther King had died to the crowd. And it was so moving and real. He's my hero.
What was it like being in the Ambassador that night?
Just horrible. It was horrible. It was really hard. It's hard to talk about because it was so thrilling. I remember I was in the elevator with Ethel, two of her kids, and Rosie Greer, who helped subdue Sirhan Sirhan an hour before this happened. Mm. And, you know, just to feel the success and the victory and the possibility that he would end up being the nominee, and then all of a sudden, a minute later, to find out he is dying in the kitchen was just shocking.
Can't believe that. Well, I just can't thank you enough for all of your kindness towards me and towards our show and for being a real inspiration and role model for me. To take risks and to think about things in a different way. So thank you for that.
That means a lot.
Congrats on the documentaries. They're so good. Seems like you're doing one every other day. I don't know how you're pulling that off.
Yeah, we're working on one right now. By the way, it's on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on Fox.
On Fox. Harvey Levin, thank you so much. Love you, brother.
Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Our thanks to Harvey Levin. Again, you can stream that documentary now on Hulu if you missed it on Fox. Thanks so much for listening to this Issue Is podcast. Next week, Bill Maher, one of Harvey's favorites. Can't wait for that. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.